Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
This is the Rovers Review on Ocean FM, and we begin this week with Saturday night's under 20 Enda McGill Cup final, which can almost get subsumed by the avalanche of sport happening locally. But the Rovers men's under 20 side reaching the National Elite Cup final this year in the academy ranks, playing UCD on Saturday night at the Bowl in Belfield. And it's a match we brought you live online on oceanfm.ie. Rovers took an early lead through Gareth McElroy in the fourth minute, but two goals from UCD, well, an equaliser first of all, took the game to extra time, despite Dara Patton appearing to have a pretty legitimate goal disallowed when Rovers were 1-0 in front. In the extra period, UCD were the team who found the second match-winning goal to win by 2-1. Let's hear from the Rovers under 20 boss, Declan Boyle. He spoke to our reporter, Donal Ryan, after last night's heartbreaking defeat.
Difficult night, obviously, when you lose, and you've got players in there that are very upset and very emotional. And, you know, listen, as a manager and all the coaches involved, we couldn't have asked for any more from the players. They give us absolutely everything, you know. It's 120 minutes, a lot of emotion, a lot of work rate. Usually we're probably the better team overall, if it's been, you know, and possession-wise, they were very, very good. You know, we started off very well, got a good, good set play goal from Big Gareth. And we're happy with that, you know, and obviously then they scored from a set play, which I'm disappointed with, you know, because they had a few half chances before that and a few half chances after, but that was probably the one moment where we should have probably defended a wee bit better, and we didn't. And then with one each, and then they obviously go on and score us second one, 2-1, you know, it brings them to extra time, and so it was tight, knock and tuck the whole way. We had a few late chances. We started gambling, we've been pushing players forward and lost our shape a wee bit, but we got a few chances, you know. But I mean, I suppose the difficult one is when you lose, you think it's bad for him, but we know that we've seen it back to video, obviously, and what a wonderful goal it should have been for us, you know, in regards to our centre forward Dara, our midfielder Dara, who ran on, you know, and finished it in a great move and blown up for offside, and it's a big disappointment for the players, because you can see it clearly online that he was actually online, and the referee made a big call and a wrong call, and it probably cost us the game in the end up, you know. But listen, fair play to UCD, they're very good, they passed the ball well, really good players, you know, and we're probably missing a few of our players that, you know, can make things happen the last third, but that's the way it goes. But as in regards to commitment, effort, and keep on going to the very, very end, I couldn't have asked any more from my players. They were super, absolutely super. And Connor Grady came in afterwards and just mentioned, you know, how proud he was of the players, and they really represented the club and the colours and the badge, and that's what it's all about, you know. And what I said to them afterwards was, I says, listen, you know, disappointment, losing, I've lost plenty of cup finals myself and it's not easy. I says, but you must remember this feeling, because when you do win something, you really have to go and celebrate it, and you know, and that's what it's all about. Football, there's always losers, and we were losers tonight, but as I said earlier, we couldn't have asked for any more from each and every player, and the subs came on to had an impact in the game, and that was what it was all about. So you know, we got to regroup now, and we've got a game against Galway on Wednesday, so it's going to be hard to get them back down to that level again in regards to their emotions and making sure everybody's fitting well. But it's one of those things, and you know, it's been a good season so far, and it's important that we finish it out and we end up hopefully getting into the playoffs and hopefully, you know, winning something at the very, very end of the year, and with time will tell, obviously. But tonight it's definitely disappointing for the whole group.
We've all seen the goal back there of Hatton's offside goal. Does that make it a little bit harder today, given the quality of the goal and for it to be wrongly disallowed?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously as well, don't think the timing of it. You know, it's, what, 86, 87 minutes. It's a big moment in the game. You know, you have a chance to go 2-1 up away, you know, obviously up in UCD, and, you know, gets a chance to go and win the game. And this was a lovely move, a lovely run as well. And we should clearly see he's onside. And the linesman that side, he should have seen it. You know, he was in a good enough position and he flagged late. And Darren made a lovely run in behind and past the keeper and stuck it into an empty net on his left foot, and from an acute angle. It was a brilliant finish, and then just to blow it up. And we weren't sure at that particular time. We thought the run was a flat run. It wasn't one of those we ran straight. We had a wee bit of flat run. Keeper came out, but yeah, just went against us. And you know, even though I think UCD were probably the better team overall, we should have and probably should have won the game from that situation there. And it just shows you it's thin lines from winning cup finals. But yeah, listen, it's definitely a better pill to take.
It's tough when you come up here, Declan, to face the likes of a UCD. Throughout the course of the season, the under-20s have used 36 different players. 20 of those players have already featured for the first team at some stage this season. It just shows you what you're really up against at this level.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, and to be fair, you know, our players are getting opportunities. You know, I suppose UCD are in the first division. If they're in the Premier Division, those players probably wouldn't be getting the same opportunities because there's more pressure on. But in UCD, in fairness, it is about that conveyor belt of students coming up, and they have and done really well, and they're probably in the playoffs now for the first division. And you know, Niall Hoolan played today, obviously, and you know, played for us last year, so I didn't think we'd be playing against him today, but there you go. You know, he only played 45 minutes, but later obviously for him as well. But yeah, listen, our players are getting opportunities. There's a pathway in the club, and the club's all about developing players, and we're very, very happy with the opportunities our players and the way they're performing as well when they do get the opportunities, you know. So the club is doing magnificent. John's giving players an opportunity, and you can see the difference in these players when they're up training with the first team and then when they come to this level, you know. But it's, you know, it's one of those things we've got to keep working and keep developing and keep giving the opportunities. And you know, and we know that not every player will come through, but we're hopeful we can push as many into the first team as possible.
As you said there, Declan, already still something to fight for this season. Rovers going well in the league phase as well with four games to go, so not all hope lost yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really good season. Like, you know, I said to the lads, like, probably 20 clubs started off in this competition. We got the last two, you know, and obviously we didn't win tonight. I didn't win the trophy. But, you know, we're up there, like, we're up fighting against... We beat Shamrock Rovers at home, we beat St Pat's, and, you know, they're the teams of the best players, probably the most international players, and UCD, a really good club as well, and with good players coming through as well. So we're up there, and that's where we need to be. We need to be up there with all those top teams and you know, developing players and giving them the opportunities and giving them the platform to go and excel, and that's what we're doing, and we're delighted with that. But you know, then the players are buying into that too, which is so positive, you know. So you know, there's negativity of a loss, but there's also so much positivity that we need to get out of the result, the performance, and everything about today as well.
I suppose, Declan, do you tell your players to channel that hurt and the heartbreak from today for the rest of the league now?
Absolutely. That's what I said to them, Jessica. That's what I actually said. I said, this feeling now that you have, which is not nice, and there's players on there, they're actually crying, you know, and it's hurting them, you know, because they know they put in so much effort. And it's not just about today and this season, it's about years, you know. So some of them, you know, came through the academy and they're in there and they're there, you know, 4 and 5, 6 years in the academy, and it's really, really hurting them, you know, because they put in so much effort into it. But that's brilliant. For me, that's brilliant. That shows that they really, really care. They care the fact that they didn't want it, obviously. They care about the club, and they care that they want to be successful, you know. So those are all qualities that we want in all our players, and that's so important, you know. And I said to them, I just mentioned the Dolan there, was that, you know, this feeling, you know, remember this feeling, because when you do one, you do need to celebrate it, because it doesn't happen very often. And I know, more so than most, that you end up losing far more than you ever won. But you know, so tonight it's disappointment, but there's so much positives that we take out of it, you know. And yeah, we regroup now of a game against Galway on Wednesday, and we go again, and you know, that's what it's all about, you know. And hopefully by Wednesday, Thursday, and all of next week, you know, they're hurting now, but hopefully with a few training sessions and a couple of games that'll come out of the systems. But you know, we need to regroup and hopefully go back in and into the playoffs and hopefully win this competition.
And this is a very talented group that you have, and maybe when you're not playing in the elite phase, people may lose kind of sight of that. But I suppose if you look at the way things have gone for you, you've had to play games on Saturdays, meaning that you've lost a lot of your best players to the senior team and all that. So a couple of things like that have gone against you as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what you're up against. You know, your success is measured by the players that graduate to the senior team, really.
Yeah, I think so, Jessica. I mean, I think that's probably the key, you know. So, like, as a coach, you always want your best players, but sometimes you're quite happy that you don't have your best players because that means somebody else gets an opportunity. And we had, you know, a couple of the under-17s here tonight as well. So give them that experience as well, and they'll be coming up next year. So it's all about, you know, that conveyor belt. We need that conveyor belt coming through all the time. We need to keep working, you know, and get the best players through. So, yeah, listen, it's a learning curve for everybody, you know, but they are hurting, and hopefully, you know, in a couple of days it'll ease a wee bit. But that desire and hunger's there, and if they weren't, you know, if they're in there and they're smiling in their face, I'd be really worried. So I'm definitely not worried about the quality of players in here, but they're, you know, we know there's more work to be doing, and it's hard work, and they know it's not easy getting to the first team. Sligo Rovers are going very well, you know, but the key is, I've been involved in clubs before where children are not, our players should say, we're not getting opportunities. They're getting opportunities. And for as a coach and under 20 manager, that's the most important thing. As a coach, you know, you tell them, you will, if you're doing your work, if you're working on good performance, you will get opportunities. And for me, that's what it's all about.
Declan Boyle, the Sligo Rovers under 20 manager, he was speaking last night at Belfield, or the UCD Bowl as it's known now, to Jessica Farry and Donal Ryan after Rovers under 20s 2-1 extra time loss to UCD in the final of the Enda McGill Cup. And if you're wondering who Enda McGill was, he's a former chairman of Dundalk FC who died in the early noughties, and the cup is named in his memory, one of the real League of Ireland advocates back in the day. That was the under-20s. They play Galway United in the league this coming Wednesday evening. Now, I was 9 years of age when Sligo Rovers won their first ever FAI Cup final. The year, of course, was 1983. And a few days after their Cup final success, when the euphoria was still around but not quite as prevalent as it was outside City Hall on the Monday night after the Cup final, Paul Fielding, the player manager, sent two players to every single national school around County Sligo. And the two players sent to my school, Rathcormac National School in North Sligo, were the super sub, Mick Graham, and the Rovers number 10, Andy Elliott. Or was he wearing number 9 in 83? I can't remember. I remember him privately being a little disappointed that Harry McLaughlin, the cup final match winner, wasn't sent out to Rathcormac that day. But the entire school population queued at the front school gates while Elliot and Mick Graham sat on the bonnet of a car and signed autograph after autograph for more than 2 hours. I hadn't seen Andy Elliott since he left the club after that 83 success until he returned to the showgrounds 2 weekends ago as a special guest of Sligo Rovers Heritage Group and to help make the annual draw at half-time during the recent Sligo Rovers Dundalk game. That's a match we broadcast online on oceanfm.ie, and at half-time in that commentary, Andy kindly came up to the commentary box to chat to Ocean FM Sport and to talk about his first visit to Sligo in some 40 years.
It's a dream. We've had such a good time, and it's like coming home. Everybody from Paul Fielding, who's made it an absolute fantastic time here, we've just loved it. Sligo is like coming home. They were so welcoming when I first came over that really I think I slipped up and I should have stayed another couple of seasons, but hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Where are you these days?
I'm some place, living Glossop in Derbyshire. I've lived and dotted around there, still enjoying it, still enjoy the football. Lucky enough, I was did all my coaching badges, so I have got my Eli license. I'm not after a job, but I wouldn't say no.
Do you still have your FAI Cup winner's medal from 1983?
Well, when I came back on the 25-year reunion, I kept looking at this person and I thought, I don't know him. And it was Archie. I know him, only know him by Archie, his father. So I gave my cup medal in honour of Archie to his dad. And I think he still got it. Somebody did say they'd get it back to me, but I think it should stay in Sligo.
Okay, so that was your gesture.
That was
to
my
Sligo
gesture,
town.
And I thought they were going to make me mayor. They all went over the top, it was in the papers and everywhere, but for me, the medal I won in Sligo should stay in Sligo.
After Sligo Rovers, where did your football career go?
I was lucky enough to be taken on at Chester City. An ex-Manchester City coach took over as manager, got in touch, and it was basically to start again on the bottom run of football. Unfortunately, he got sacked at Christmas. So after that, it was basically back to square one. I know Paul Fielding tried to get in touch, but nobody got a message to me, because I would have come back. Definitely.
Well, you look fit enough to be still playing, Andy Elliott, if I might say, all these years later. I do remember you and Gus Gillig and that partnership you had up front during that never-to-be-forgotten cup run.
Yeah, Gus obviously was great for me. He had the height, he had the strength, and with me be only on the smaller side, I had the low sense of gravity, so I could get away with things, which little players can. So we sort of gelled, and it was really good to know somebody like him, to play with someone like him. But in that team, there was a player who I'll never forget, Harry McLaughlin. A player I don't think you could coach. A player who, for me, was a genius. Give him the ball, he'd win you the game. Give him a training session, I don't think he'd want to know. But that was Harry. And the goal he scored, I don't think anybody could have scored that goal. What he did, it was just genius, and that's what he was all about.
Apart from the cup final win, finally, Andy Elliott, is there any other Rovers moment or memory or match or goal or pass that sticks out in your mind from your time at the Showgrounds?
Yeah, the semi-final, the Cove Ramblers, four games, and I think it proved to everybody how this team seems to grind out a result. I don't think we were the best football team in the league, and I don't think anybody gave us a chance of winning that cup, but we just had something on that day, and if you ask Paul Fielding, he'll say it was him wearing number 13, sleeping in room 13, because somebody said that there was a curse. Unless a black man played for Sligo, snow on the mountain, you wouldn't win, and there was that year. So loads of memories, I mean fantastic memories. And to come back and watch a game, because it's the first time I've been back to the ground in 40 years, it's a little bit flatter than when I played, and a little bit nicer. I think if somebody kicked the ball out...
The bumps and the hollows and the little pockmarks, don't you?
The sheep, that one used to be on there. But yeah, I mean, it was just made the person I am, and thankful for the Sligo people. So many people made you welcome. You didn't really want to go home. And it is my second home, without a doubt.
Well, it's great to see you back here all these years later, Andy. Hope you enjoy the weekend and the catch-up with Paul Fielding, with Chris Rutherford and Tony Fagan. You were out on the pitch at half-time doing the annual draw with some of your old cup final winning teammates.
I never thought I'd be on a pitch again with them people and Martin McDonald, who's been great. I just got one wish, that Sligo win tonight.
Well, listen here, we're still behind against Dundalk here by a goal to nil. If we're still one down with 10 minutes to go, did you bring your boots?
Oh, without a doubt. I think I could get the winner.
Good man. Andy Elliott, 1983 FAI Cup final winning hero with Sligo Rovers, and I still have the autograph to prove it all these years later with you and Mick Graham. Thanks for calling up to see us here in the press box.
Pleasure. Thank you very much, Sligo people.
And his wish came through that night. Rovers came from behind to beat Dundalk by 2-1. Andy Elliott, 1983 FAI Cup winner with Sligo Rovers, on his visit to the Showgrounds the weekend before last. From 83 to the current League of Ireland campaign, and Friday night's television match saw a courageous, skillful and battling Sligo Rovers display as they held the league leaders Shelburne to a scoreless draw at Tolka Park. It stretches Shelburne's lead to 4 points at the top of the table, because their title challengers Derry City and Shamrock Rovers both lost on Friday night. Rovers could have nicked the 3 points. That's certainly the view of the Rovers manager John Russell when he spoke to R. Donald Ryan after the game.
We're leaving here disappointed with a draw, and it would have closed the gap to 4 points. Thought our first half performance was superb, really dominated the ball, really fluid, and look for the neutrals. I think this game, watching it, was really, for nil all, it was end to end, really lively, chances at both ends, both keepers played well. We created some good chances. This is always a tough venue. No one gave us a chance this week. It was all shells, and they were going for the league, and this, that, and the other. And I felt we put on a really good performance, and to be honest, disappointed to be going home with a point.
You say it's a tough venue, John, but Rovers haven't lost here this year.
No, and that's why I said to the lads before the game that we've beaten them twice. I don't think we deserve to lose the game in Sligo early in the season. And play with no fear. We needed to play and you know, utilise our strengths in terms of our build-up, play out from the back, build through the thirds and press from the front. And we did that for the majority of the game. Yeah, there was times where Shells are at home. They put a lot of aerial balls down on top of us, targeting Boyd. And Niall did excellent tonight, him and Ollie, centre-back. And you know, looking at Jack coming into the middle of the park, thought he was sensational. Him and Connor really dictated, especially in the first half. And, you know, overall, you know, for me, moving forward into the last four games, lots of positives, and we just need to keep believing and keep playing like that.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack Henry Francis there, an outstanding individual performance from him this season. He's really kind of grown into his own now.
Yeah, he has. Look, he's huge potential, and this is his first loan, and it's been a bit stop-start for him. He's done really well in all the games, and then obviously getting sent off, and people look at the red card, but I thought up to 55 minutes he was excellent in the game. And he's a young player learning his trade, and probably just a bit naivety diving in for a second, even though I thought it was unbelievably harsh on the night. And yeah, he was straight back in tonight, and I said, yeah, he was sensational.
Probably not the result you wanted, John, but where does that performance rank overall this season, do you think?
I think it's one of our top performances. As I said, people didn't give us a chance coming up. It was all about Shells. And you know, for us, they're top of the league. I think we showed that we're probably the best footballing team in the league. We've beaten everyone on our day. You know, the way we played tonight, if we can continue to do that, we give ourselves a chance of winning matches.
We saw Simon Power coming off there towards the end as well. How's he?
Yeah, no, he's fine. Just cramp. Look, I think everyone knows, especially in-house around Sligo, all you guys in the media, we've got an unbelievably tight squad. The bench is full of all the academy lads who, you know, hopefully they'll go and do the business tomorrow in the final of the Under-20 Cup. But, you know, we don't have the luxury that Shells had tonight, bringing on Maddie Smith and Liam Burt and all these guys coming into the game. But the guys who were on the pitch, the likes of Simon, yeah, they dug deep. He came off a cramp, you know, Reese blocked an unbelievable shot at the end there in the box, and he's struggling for the last few minutes, but lads are putting the bodies on the line, and they've been doing it all season.
Luke Pearce came in for his first start in the league this season, a really good performance leading the line tonight as well.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. You know, another player who had to bide his time. Wilson Aguero has been so good for us and scoring goals, and you know, it didn't surprise me tonight, Luke, because you see him in training and how hard he's working and the impact he's made coming off the bench. So I was delighted with his performance tonight.
Can you give us any update on Wilson Aguero? I know you've seen a specialist this week. Is there any kind of prognosis there?
Yeah, so he's going to miss the rest of the season. He's due to get surgery either Sunday or Wednesday next week. So yeah, he'll be out for the rest of the season.
It is an Achilles injury, is it?
Yeah, he's going to have to get surgery on his Achilles, yeah.
I suppose finally, John, a bit of an extended break now for Rovers. Probably coming at the wrong time. No game now for 2.5 weeks until Derry on the 14th of October.
Yeah, obviously the Derry have the cup game next week, but the following week we'll play Celtic in that friendly, which is good. Gives an opportunity to get plenty of minutes into players, and we'll build then and look towards Derry. Obviously there's going to be a quick fire finish to the season with Monday, Saturday, Friday, and look, we're in the mix. It's really tight at the moment. I think we're, what is it, 3 off second or something like that, looking at the table tonight. You know, if anyone said Sligo will be 3 points off second with 4 games to go, they'd probably be laughing at you. But this group, it's a special group. They're working extremely hard. I've said it all season, the real connection with the supporters. They see what they're doing week in, week out. And I'm just pleased tonight, because the last 2 games on telly didn't go too well for us. And I'm just happy tonight that the players played without fear and show what they're about.
Rovers manager John Russell after Friday night's nil-all draw against Shelburne. Here's the top of the league table, the top five. Shelburne, 54 points with 5 games to play. Derry City second, 50 points with 5 games to play. Shamrock Rovers third, 49 points with 4 matches to go. Galway United fourth, 49 points with 4 matches to go. Sligo Rovers fifth, 47 points with 4 matches to go. Derry City winning the FAI Cup would mean 4th place would be good enough for European football next season. Rovers' remaining games, they've no game next weekend. Then on Wednesday week, the 9th of October, the home friendly against Celtic at the showgrounds. It's sold out. It'll be live on Ocean FM from 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 9th. Then on Monday the 13th, they go to the Brandywell to play Derry City. The following Friday the 19th, they're at home to Bohemians at the showgrounds. Then it's away to Galway United on October 25th. And they finish the season November 1st at home to Stephen Kenny's St. Patrick's Athletic.